I'm going to take a moment just to invite my God, your God, in so that I can bring a clear Narcotics Anonymous message today. I want to thank the HACNA Convention Committee that's doing this function today and the women that have decided to make this a wonderful celebration of women in recovery. It's a hard road to hoe, but I'll tell you what, it's been very rewarding being a part of the Narcotics Anonymous Fellowship. I found a place where I belong. And just a little background, a little identification. My topic today is All Will Be Well. And when I came in, if you had been through what I'd been through in life, I had been through everything. My parents, my dad had custody of me, and he died when I was 8. And then my mom had sent me off to boarding school, and I lived with people from place to place to place. I was expelled from high school for intent to distribute on school property, and I got pregnant with the dope man's baby at 17 years old. And then my mom died of the same brain tumor that killed my mom when I was 21. And I went through abusive relationship after abusive relationship because victims are easy to victimize, right? And I had always lived in this victim mentality, and I didn't know any better, right? And when I came to Narcotics Anonymous, I didn't come here because I decided I wanted to get clean. I came here because I wanted the consequences and the problems to stop. And I had figured if you had used the way I had used, if you had been through what I'd been through, you wouldn't know how to live with or without the drugs either, right? And then I read that in our literature. I read that in our literature, and I came around and I heard people that would share parts of my story, right? And they would be having a good time clean, right? They say, come back to meetings, keep coming back, and don't use between meetings, right? Look for those parts of the story that you can identify with, right? And I figured if I got clean long enough to get the monkey off my back and the consequences to stop, right, maybe I could learn to use successfully. If you're new, this is a program of complete abstinence. Now I have a question. I asked them, told someone I would do this for them. How many people here have less than 30 days clean right now? There's your two. Welcome to the rooms, right? When I was early in recovery, I couldn't imagine getting years clean. I couldn't even imagine getting a day sometimes, right? And I was so grateful that I could take it minute by minute, right? I learned in these rooms what it meant to be present in the moment, right, in my own skin. I could do something for 5 minutes that felt unbearable, that I couldn't imagine doing for 5 years or for the rest of my life. But I could imagine doing it for maybe 5 minutes. And often those feelings, those urges would pass, right? And often that's what I would have to do. I had to learn new tools because the drugs, that was my solution, right? From the time I was very young and I first picked up, that was it. And then I spent the next 16 years chasing that feeling again. If I could just be okay, right? If I could just be okay in my own skin. I used to have fun. I used to party. I used to fit in. I used on good days and bad days. And then I used just so I didn't feel sick. And I used just so I didn't have to face myself. And I used just so I didn't have to face you or you or you or whoever it was in the bed next to me that night, right? And that became my pattern. And when I came here, I would love to tell you I came in these rooms saying, I don't want to die. But that's not my story. I came in and I wanted to die and I couldn't even do that right. And I had tried several times. You know, if you'd been through what I've been through, you'd use too. That was my view, right? But I heard hope, right? You'll have free coffee. That was a big draw. And then I kept coming, and I heard a little bit of hope, and I became a little bit willing. And once I became a little bit willing, I became a little bit open-minded that maybe, just maybe, oh my gosh, she's been through some shit like I have. And she's clean today, and she's okay. Maybe, just maybe, I mean, I probably won't get where she's at, but maybe I can get something out of this program. And I kept coming back, right? This is a 12-step program. I don't care how long you've been coming around these rooms. If you're enjoying the fellowship, that's great, right? But our literature says our solution is in the steps, right? The steps are our best defense against relapse, right? As I started working the steps, something started happening, right? All you sick motherfuckers started getting better. I think really what was happening was I was getting better, right? I started changing. I didn't know I needed to change. I didn't understand that I had always been the victim. And until I found out that there was another way, and I learned a new way to live, right, I could see as I worked the steps where my side of the street ended and where theirs began. I could see the power of forgiveness. I'm going to share part of my story. This is a women's speaker jam, and somebody might need to hear it. Okay. At one point in my life, I was 17 years old. I had just found out I was pregnant, and I wanted to get right with God, and I went back to church. There was a deacon in that church, an elder in that church, and I had grown up in the house of faith, right? And I have the same God today that I sang to in Sunday school. Thanks to the 12 steps, I understand what a relationship is with a loving, caring God who gives grace and mercy. And I did not understand that for many years. So 17 years old, trying to go back to church, I'm pregnant. I have a grade 4 placenta. I'm having all sorts of birth problems and defects. And this deacon in the church is like, well, tell you what, you can babysit for me and I'll pay you. And I go to his house and he's like, oh, wait, before you can do this, I need to anoint you. You need to be right with, you know, God. Now, he didn't know what right with God was, and he did some things that were heinous in the name of God. It was not a loving and caring higher power. I was a 17-year-old drug addict pregnant. Who was I going to tell that would believe me, right? I put this aside. I didn't tell people in my world then because I knew they'd kill the man. I went to one mom. She was my mom in that world, and I told her what had happened. She said, you can't tell your brothers, they'll kill them. And she was right. They would have. So I held it, right? So I come in these rooms, and what's one of the things we talk about? You hear, right? Forgiveness, right? That forgiveness is for you. Resentments are like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die, right? And I'm in a meeting one day, and this old-timer talks about justified resentments. And he says, you know, there are those resentments that are justified. And I'm like on the edge of my seat. Because I'm like, I could forgive a lot of the other guys that had done what they'd done. But this guy, I couldn't because of the way he did it. You know, I'd say the deepest levels of hell are reserved for men like that. That was my thought behind it, right? And this guy's talking about justified resentments, and I'm finally like, yes, someone gets it. I get to hold on to this resentment. And then he tells me, let me tell you what, it doesn't matter if it's justified or not. It'll take you out just the same. You need to find forgiveness. And I talked to my sponsor, and this was early on in recovery, and I said, how am I going to forgive this man for what he done? So let me pray for him. What do you want? Before she said that, she goes, what do you want out of recovery? Well, I want freedom. I want to be comfortable in my own skin. I don't want to feel like I need to die or use people or drugs or places or men. I want to be okay to be me, right? I want peace. I want a relationship with God like I see that you have or you have, right? She says, that's what I want you to do. I want you to pray that he has all those things. What? She asked me a few days later, are you praying for him? I said, no. She goes, do you shower every day? Okay, yeah. She goes, pray for him in the shower. I said, that's pretty damn intimate, don't you think? She says, what he did to you was pretty damn intimate, wasn't it? I said, yeah. Okay. So I start praying in the shower, and at first it was like this. God gave this man, with his name there, freedom, blah, blah, blah. I never meant it. A few days later, it was wrote, God give blah, blah, blah. And I'm reading a shampoo bottle. Like, this was my pattern, right? And I'll never forget that day. One day, might have been a few weeks in. I don't know how long it had been. And I'm standing in the shower, and I'm praying for this man. God give this man. And all of a sudden, I realize that daughter, that girl that I went to babysit comes to my mind for the first time in all those years, right? And all of a sudden, I mean, I'm hitting my knees in that shower naked before God with the shampoo bottle in my hand, and I mean it. I'm like, God, give this man peace. Let him find you. Give him healing. Give him hope, right? And all these years, I'd never found what happened to that man, but I meant it in that moment, and I stood up, and I felt like this release. Like, I could have said I wanted to forgive him for so long, but it didn't happen until it happened. It was a process, right? And it was one of the few times in my recovery I felt a literal physical release, right? I had found forgiveness for him. Well, guess what? 3 weeks later, I was getting the TDCJ number of one of my people. I was going to save everybody with Narcotics Anonymous when I was new, by the way. And I was getting a TDCJ number of one of my old running buddies that I was going to send a basic test, get some literature from LSRO sent into the units. And that's one of the best things you can do, is send literature into the units. I really still believe that to this day. That's other stories. I love you guys. Anyways. And while I'm on that website, I look up this man's name. And sure enough, for the first time in 14 years, I found the motherfucker. And he had been sentenced for repeated sexual assault of a child under 13. And 74 years he would be spending inside TDCJ. That was that little girl, right? I could pray for her today. Well, in that moment, I was like, wait a minute. Does this mean I get to hold the resentment again? Right? Because he's locked up, right? I can hold it now. And I came to the realization that, no, I wanted him to have that freedom. Because he might be in there with somebody's son or brother, right? And hurt people. And sick transmits to sick. And if he had found freedom, he would have less of a chance of contaminating another inmate with something worse than they came in with, right? And I wanted it. And then I was on TDCJ again. And I found out he was a visitor eligible. No. Which meant he was in solitaire or locked up, right, by himself. He didn't have interaction with others. So if it's just him by himself, do I want him to rot? And I'm like, yeah. But my spirit didn't feel right at this point. Y'all had done too much work in me, in teaching me tolerance, acceptance, love, my side of the street, right? And then I realized, even if he's in solitary for the rest of his life until the day he dies and he never sees another soul, I want him to find freedom. Why? Because that's one less soul that this disease or that evil or the sickness would win, right? And that was, for me, healing. Now, where he is, I don't know. That's not between me and him, but that's between him and his higher power, right? But I know today that something that I thought I would never be free from, I found freedom from because of the practice of forgiveness, which is in the steps of Narcotics Anonymous, right? All will be well, right? My topic today is all will be well. Let me tell you what. From a girl who looked in the mirror and didn't like it, I couldn't look in the mirror. And when she started to, didn't like the girl she saw, that wanted to die and couldn't even do that right, to the woman I am today, you wouldn't even know I'm the same woman, right? Today I have a kick-ass fairy tale life. The ripples of this disease go far. They went far through my family before me, and they affected many people. But guess what? The ripples of recovery go far too. Because I'm clean today, because I practice these spiritual principles to the best of my ability in all areas of my life, I'm able to make a difference in the lives of the children that God has given me. They've grown up in these rooms. When I came in, they were 10, 6, and 4. Today, these kids are 20, 16, and 14. Have I parented them perfect? No. I was telling someone before the meeting, the hardest place to practice these principles is at home. I can give you grace upon grace. I can give that newcomer love every time they come in. I can tell you in a meeting how I'm learning to apply these principles. And then I can go home and lose it with my kids. And then I can learn how to practice these principles when I fall short. Molly, when I let you down, when I yell, when I fall short of the attention you need, I'm wrong. I hope that you can forgive me. How can I make it right? And then I can be a little more present every time I practice that 10-step with my own kids, right? Ripple effects of recovery go far. From a pattern where I was so close to losing my kids to where we are today, one of my kids had such a stable environment, thanks to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous and me learning to practice these principles, he was able to pursue his dream and go to college at the United States Military Academy at West Point. Because of the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, I have a relationship with my daughter that is one of the greatest blessings in my life. But because of the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, I can look in the mirror and I can be like, you got a long way to go, girl, but I love you right where you're at, and I'm so grateful to be alive today. And that wasn't the case when I came in. It's a good day to be clean. And for the grace and care of a loving God, who I know works all things for my good and his glory when I practice these principles in all areas of my life, and has room when I fall. And it says that in our literature. So my topic is All Will Be Well, and I love the literature of Narcotics Anonymous, right? I love our basic text. It's absolutely phenomenal. It's one of the most inspired books I've ever read, right? But I also love that we have a fellowship that is not stagnant, that continues to keep up with the times and put out new literature. And every piece that they've come out with, I've been a little hesitant because I got some old school lineage in NA and they like their old school literature, right? But then I pick up that Living Clean or I pick up that Guiding Principle, and I'll tell you what, I see myself in those books too, right? So they told me I was going to speak out of these few little pages in the very back of Guiding Principles, okay? And I'm going to read this for you. It says, in service, in our lives, in our relationships, we apply the principles of recovery to the best of our ability. Even when we try our best, we will sometimes make mistakes. How many of you? I know I have. I know I'm not the only one. Okay. In these moments, it can help to remember that we are in the care of a loving higher power. We learn in our personal struggles that recovery is strong enough to withstand the storms of life. We learn through service that the NA program is strong enough to hold us all, and our principles are more powerful than our worst ideas. There is room in recovery is strong enough to hold us all, right? These rooms have given me that unity. They've given me that ability to know whatever I walk through. And I've walked through some stuff with my kids, mistakes that I've made, problems of my own making. They didn't go away. I didn't come in these rooms and get perfect. I'm still not perfect. I don't think I will be before I hit the grave. I'm okay with that today, right? I have the tools today so that I know I don't have to pick up. Because that tool, it didn't have the desired effect and results, right? It always left me needing more. It always left me disappointed in myself. The tools that I've learned here in Narcotics Anonymous, these spiritual principles that are behind the steps, behind the traditions, and behind the concepts, they give me relief. They give me freedom. They give me hope. They give me the ability to love myself where I'm at and you where you're at and to forgive that gentleman, motherfucker, whatever he is, that's sitting in that unit somewhere in the TDCJ prison until the day he dies. It gives me the ability to love you no matter what you've done in active addiction. And even when you fall short on your journey in recovery, there's room for you in Narcotics Anonymous. You are welcome in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. And I'm grateful that there's room for all manifestations of the recovering addict, as it says in our symbol. That gives me hope that we can walk out of there, people that would not otherwise mix, and find a little bit of freedom. She's telling me I have 10 minutes. I was going to end on that note, but okay, Cammy. I'm going to default to what I know. I'm going to talk to the newcomer, and I'm going to take this back to the basics, because that's what works for me, right? Recovery has got to remain my number one priority. When I first came in, I got 16 months, right? I graduated. I worked the steps. I got all these blessings, that spiritual growth in my life. I got my kids back. I had two jobs. I took parenting classes. I got a house. I found some inner peace, right? I got a man. Found him in prison. He got out. I had a year before he got out, so it was okay. We're in different zip codes for that first year. No. This is justification and rationalization. I understand this today. I also understand that God works all things. Let me tell you, at one point he was in a federal unit. He had gotten a little time clean and in recovery because he is one of us. And he didn't keep it because he didn't work the steps. He didn't have that solution. And he got locked up behind a new charge, a federal charge at this point. And he was in a unit, right? And he kept telling me he's going to the meetings. And of course, I didn't believe a damn word that came out of this man's mouth, because if he was, his lips are moving, he's lying, right? He's still in my life today, right? And in my house today. And he was in the federal unit at this time and kept telling me he's going to the NA meetings in the unit. He's hearing this message and he's carrying it. Sounds pretty strong. And I'm like, okay, well, who's taking it? Well, Patrick and I don't know them. Sorry. I go to this convention in San Antonio and there's this speaker, and my daughter was with me because she's grown up in these rooms. And there was a sign language interpreter that day, and my daughter loves sign language, and she was watching the interpreter. And I hear the message, and this lady's speaking clear, man. She has a powerful message. You'll get to hear her later. We're driving back out to Bernie, and my daughter's like, Mom, what's H&I? I'm like, oh, that's hospitals and institutions. Like when I go to the treatment center here in Bernie, and I carry that message that some of you have gotten to go with me on. I'm like, that's hospitals and institutions. They carry the message where people can't go out to meetings. And she says, oh, well, that lady says she does H&I in Bastrop. And I'm like, what? So I drive back down to the convention in San Antonio the next day, and I got to meet the woman and the man that were in there feeding my husband Narcotics Anonymous every single week while he was locked up in that federal institution, right? When I couldn't see him, my NA family was large enough for us all. It was able to meet him where he was at with a clear message that he didn't have to live that way anymore, that he could find freedom not only from the disease of addiction, but the lifestyle. The drug use was only part of it, but that lifestyle as well, right? He couldn't hear it from me. He still can't. Like, let me tell you, the worst thing I can tell my husband today is that he called responsive. You need to get to a meeting. Because you know what, man, he doesn't want to hear it from me. And whatever I tell him, he might have been thinking, I need to call my sponsor. And then I say that, and guess what? It's going to be bet. You know. So I've learned I'm not his higher power, I'm not his sponsor, and I'm not another man in the program. If I got an issue with him, I can take it to God, and if I have to take it to a human, I can take it to my sponsor or a sister in recovery. That's it. That's my limit, right? When I do that, and I allow him his autonomy to work his own program, he tends to do pretty good. Still got some rebellion in him, he still got some defects. We're working through it. So do I. And that's the beauty of Narcotics Anonymous. Even this morning with a sponsee and a friend in recovery, I got to act out my defects, and I got to participate in gossip. Man, it feels so good. It's like sweet morsels when you do it, right? Yeah, maybe I'm the only one that feels that way in the moment, right? And then I walk away, and it's kind of like I just ate too much candy, and my stomach is upset, right? That's how come I know these principles are working in my life, right? Because then I get to meet up with my sponsee again later, and I'm like, hey, look, guess what? Another 10 step. Earlier, I wasn't being authentic to who I decide I want to be today, thanks to the rims of Narcotics Anonymous. I want to see the best in everybody, because you guys saw the best in me when I didn't. I'm grateful today that I have these tools. Without these tools that I've learned through the steps, I'd go back out and use. That tool is called the 10th step, right? It's owning my part. It's cleaning my side of the street, right? That forgiveness, that was part of the 8th step, right? That particular forgiveness I got to do a little earlier. I don't know that I would have made it through. I wound up writing a letter to my mother. That was another very powerful one. She had passed away while I was in active addiction. Died of that brain tumor. Where the hospice nurses were taking care of her body, I was taking care of the bottle of morphine that was left behind and burning off from the house. And going down to the Riverwalk in San Antonio and going on a 3-day run with mom's morphine and whatever else I could. Because my favorite drug, it was free. I liked yours more. Oh, definitely more. But anything free, that got me too, right? Yours more and free, that was it. And at that point, that's how I dealt with it. I didn't grieve the death of my mom until I came into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, right? And how was I going to make amends to the dead, right? There's a Tool song like that, right? Perfect Circle. Maynard sings a great song, How Do You Make Amends to the Dead? Guess what? This program taught me how. There's a way to do that. I can write a letter. I can make a living amends. I don't have to follow in those same footsteps, right? I have new family today. I have new freedom. I have new hope. If you're new, keep coming back. Get a sponsor. Work the steps. Right? No matter what you've been through, there's hope and there's freedom without the use of drugs. It's a new way to live, and it's here in Narcotics Anonymous. That's all I got.